I apologize, but I did have a request to take item number 19 out of order. Dr. Minkoff does have a community meeting that he needs to attend. And so, if you don't mind, Ms. Ledger, I know you like spending all morning with us anyway.
I do like spending all morning with
us. Thank you. Thank you. I will call you back up as soon as we are have completed item number 19.
From Ken Minkoff, MD, presenting a verbal informational report on comprehensive continuous integrated systems of care. Informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Can I move this?
Yes.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Supervisors. My name is Walter Locks. I'm the Director of Community Services for the Behavioral Health Division, and I have the pleasure to introduce to you Dr. Ken Minkoff, a Harvard-educated psychiatrist, who's helping us in a process that we call the Continuous Comprehensive Integrated System of Care, or CCISC. Just by way of context and background, this is a process that we had started. We've been underway for over a year on this. We had, as you're aware, written several federal grants in 2009. And in federal grants, they always ask you for your sustainability plan. And as we know, grants come and go. And there's usually not money that follows in behind them. What the grants allowed us to do was to set aside some of the grant funds, the federal funds, for infrastructure development. So we had identified this process to integrate our community substance abuse and mental health service systems as a sustainability feature of these federal grants. The federal government approved our grants, and that was used as seed money to start this process. The state has additionally given us money to support this process because they're very interested in this process. As a matter of fact, we just got a new state-county contract this week to support that, as well as community providers have also paid for some of the visits prior to actually getting the grants to support us in this process. So just by way of background, with that said, I know our time is short. I'll give it to Dr. Minkoff.
Madam Supervisor, other supervisors, thank you for the opportunity to provide you some information on this process that's been initiated in BHD and has attracted partnership throughout the system. Sitting and listening to the meeting this morning and hearing about the opportunity for mental health redesign as a system improvement approach and listening to the pilot program presented by Children's Hospital and listening to your collective misery about the budget cuts that you're facing in family care and everything else, I think the thing that I wanted to share with you is timely about where you're trying to go as a county and as a county that's particularly always represented the capacity to develop very innovative approaches to people in your community. The thing that I do for a living, I work with my partner, who's also a psychiatrist, and we're in the business of changing the world. And what that means is that we work with large, usually public, and behavioral health and health delivery systems all over the United States, including in other parts of Wisconsin, state systems and county systems, helping systems organize themselves at every level to be about the needs of the people who are actually showing up for care. And in a time when systems are experiencing diminishing resources, we are hearing quite often from people coming to our doors who have all kinds of complexity and desperation, and experiencing systems that feel like they're not organized as if helping desperate and complex people is what things are going to be about. And what we're realizing in systems with limited resources, as yours is, that are getting more limited all the time, as yours is that we're never going to be successful figuring out how to meet the needs of these complex populations simply by trying to fund special projects or special programs. We have to figure out how we're going to leverage every conceivable resource inside the entire system with every dollar that we have to be about the needs and hopes of the people with complex needs who are coming to our doors. Now, what we do in kind of engaging this process, and we've been working in Milwaukee County with Walter and with the inpatient units and other providers and all kinds of partners for the past year. There's a steering committee that has formed that is broadly representative of a wide range of constituencies, which is the meeting that we have to go to when we're done here, that is owning this process collectively. And we start by challenging the system, by putting the people in the middle of the conversation who have a set of complex needs. And generally, we start by putting people in the middle who have what we call co-occurring conditions or complex conditions, people or families with combinations of mental health and substance issues, and particularly important within behavioral health. Because folks with mental health and substance issues bring everybody to the table because they're everywhere in behavioral health systems, they're in the criminal justice system, they're in the child welfare system, they're in the aging and disability system. In addition, they don't just have mental health and substance issues, they have health issues, disability issues, parenting issues, legal issues, housing issues, etc. These are folks who are characterized by complexity. And as we know, the more complex you are, the worse you're likely to be doing. So these are the folks who are having the poorest outcomes and the highest costs in our scarce resource service system. And if our job is to design systems with limited resources to be about the people who need us, then naturally we would be thinking that people with complex needs would clearly be prioritized for system-level attention. However, historically, exactly the opposite tends to be the case, is that folks with both mental health and substance issues or behavioral health and health issues are generally experienced as misfits pretty much everywhere they show up. And so one of the starting places, and not only are they experienced as misfits, they actually wind up being experienced negatively. So they acquire labels like antisocial, manipulative, borderline, med-seeking, non-compliant sociopath. And they're people that, instead of being engaged with care, are pushed away. So one of the starting places for thinking about how to design a whole service system is to think, what if we create a system in which the people and families with the most complex needs are purposefully welcomed for care exactly as they are, wherever and whenever they show up? Now, the second driver for doing this throughout a whole system is that not only are these folks doing poorly, there are lots of them. So as the previous discussion was illustrating, the minute you look inside any silo of program or funding, you're going to find people who have multiple complex needs. Complexity is an expectation, not an exception, pretty much everywhere we look. And the thing that's dramatic is not that we don't know this, it's the way the whole system has been organized as if this isn't true. So in systems with limited resources, what we need to be doing is building the capacity to address the needs and hopes of people and families with complexity into absolutely everything we do. So in the framework that we use, which we call the Comprehensive Continuous Integrated System of Care, okay, our job is to say all services within the whole system are hopeful, person-centered, empowering, and strength-based, designed to be about the hopes and dreams of the people who are showing up. And because complexity is an expectation, the slides are not in there. Sorry about that. But this is all written in the cover sheet, as well as there's a face sheet that kind of describes what the steering committee is working on. All services are designed to welcome, engage, and provide integrated services to individuals and families with multiple issues, which is to say that, all services, every program, is designed to be welcoming, recovery-oriented, and what we call co-occurring capable. Now, the challenge of doing this in the spirit of thinking about how to design a system with unlimited resources, we think, well, what is a system? Well, in Milwaukee, like any other place, a system is not a single entity, and it's not just the county, and it's not just a particular program or unit. It's like a set of nesting Russian dolls that are not quite so nesting. There are systems within systems within systems sitting next to other systems within systems within systems. And the challenge of doing this in a large system is to engage all of the components of the system in a partnership so that everybody is moving in the direction of a common vision. And so what happens in this is that all programs in the system start moving down a common path, welcoming, hopeful, trauma-informed, complexity-capable, within every policy, procedure, and practice, within every dollar that's spent, and within every person who's providing care. And we call this a process of recovery for systems, because what it represents is a recognition that in a time when we're very stressed, everybody is, that we all live in a system that is historically misdesigned in many, many ways to match the needs of the most complex people and families showing up at our doors, often with disastrous results, both clinically and financially. And this is true inside behavioral health and the overlap between mental health and substance. It's also true in healthcare and the overlap between health and behavioral health in all domains. So the challenge is to figure out both a structure, a direction, and a process by which the whole system can move forward together. Now, so one of the ways of doing this is that, okay, is that there's a process for getting there. Is this your vision? How do you get there? So, and there's two parts of the process. One is the application of evidence-based practice clinical principles in every setting. The other thing is what a number of the folks were alluding to earlier this morning, which is the organized approach of building a quality improvement partnership, which is the kind of thing that the Children's Hospital people were talking about before. But they were talking about it in terms of one particular neighborhood and one set of strategies for one particular complex population. And what this is about is creating that quality improvement partnership, which, you know, is one of the biggest potential aspects of healthcare reform, with Don Berwick, who is one of the people who developed this kind of approach to system improvement and population health at the head of CMS. Is to build this framework into everything that goes on in the entire system. So what's been happening is there's a message that says the county is welcoming all of its partners. Internal partners, direct operated services, mental health delivery, substance delivery, contracted providers, juvenile justice, adult prison reentry, consumers, families, advocates, like the community advisory board folks, okay, and to say let's all move down a path so that we all, within our own capacity to improve what we're doing, within whatever resources we have, we commit ourselves to working in a partnership to improve our capacity to welcome complex people, inspire them with hope, and help them to make progress toward addressing their goals. And there's a set of clinical principles that allow for sets of interventions to be built into every resource and every setting that are matched to people's needs, and a step-by-step approach for everybody to own that process. And because we don't have a lot of time, you know, I don't want to go through all of the principles, but they start with very basic things, which are critical, okay? So they start with things like welcoming. And welcoming is not just a nice idea. It's kind of a basic approach to customer service and all the organized practice and interventions that have to do with designing the things that we do in services that are critical in the safety net around the needs of the most challenging people that come to our door, and using helping everybody improve their capacity to welcome those as pieces of clinical practice. Hi there. You're one of those people or families who has both mental health and substance issues and health issues and cultural diversity issues. You know, you're the kind of person we most need to be serving because you're the kind of person who is having the hardest time. We know our job is not to know how to fix you the minute we meet you. Our job is to get to know you, thank you for coming, inspire you with hope, and help you to figure out how to get connected to something that's going to help you to make progress over time addressing all your issues so you can have the most hopeful life you possibly can. Now, there's nothing in that speech that's rocket science. The thing that has to happen is that everybody owns their own internal process by policy, procedure, and practice to deliver that type of intervention to the people who are coming to the door with the greatest challenges, who potentially have the highest costs. And then the result in this engagement is connecting people to services that can move them down the path to produce better outcomes at lower costs over time. Okay, so there's a whole bunch of interventions that can be developed that are listed in here. Okay, and this is a summary. Okay, building a whole system, so that every program and every person delivering care is welcoming people with complex needs into a relationship that is empathic, hopeful, continuing, integrated, built around hope and recovery, helping people to address multiple primary issues, mental health, substance, medical, housing, legal, whatever, in the relationship, providing adequately supported, adequately rewarded, strength-based, skill-based, stage-matched, community-based learning for each issue so that people can make progress toward having happy lives. Now, the way of getting there, which we call a recovery process for systems, is to build both a horizontal and vertical quality improvement partnership across the whole system. And that already has taken off to a certain degree. So there's a team of frontline change agents that is representing participating providers that probably has 100 people in it right now and is continuing to grow, that represent the voice of people on the front lines, direct clinical staff, people who receive services, family advocates. Okay? And these folks are positioned to work in partnership with the leadership of the system to help create the process of transformation. And over time, the goal is that every dollar, every policy, every procedure, every practice, every piece of paperwork that informs what anybody does throughout the community is lined up to support this basic vision of designing the whole service system to be about the needs and hopes of the people who are showing up. So that's a kind of very quick kind of approach. We wanted to put this in front of you so you would be aware of it. I know you were talking earlier about the HSRI report, and one of the things, they're familiar with this process in other systems, so they incorporated reference to it in their report. We were just getting this off the ground as their report was finishing, so we had a chance to kind of let them know that this was something that was happening that, from their perspective, is aligned with some of the direction that they were hoping the system would go. So I'll stop there.
Supervisor Rice?
That is stimulating, you know, the presentation to listen to. Has it been implemented anywhere? Can you point us to any places or any organizations or institutions that are using it?
Yeah, now this is a system improvement model, and there are county and state systems that have been using this process for a number of years. So let's just take a neighboring state like Michigan, okay, where we started working with Kent County, which is Grand Rapids, about 7 years ago. So they've been developing this. They started with their mental health and substance component. In the past few years, they added their intellectual disabilities component. They're now sitting and bringing in their primary health component. Because of the success of the implementation in this county, it was picked up by a couple of other counties, and then it became a statewide initiative in Michigan. We're currently working with, we've been working for about 3.5 years with the city of Detroit or Detroit Wayne County, which is, again, moving this process from mental health and substance to incorporate developmental disabilities and to combine it with a primary health behavioral health integration framework. Heading west, we've been working for about 4 years with the state of South Dakota. So, again, in the state of South Dakota, this began as a mental health and substance initiative and now has attracted partnership within Department of Corrections, Juvenile Justice, within their children's system of care. So all the providers, both in the community, the state facility, which is called the Human Services Center, and increasingly children's local systems of care, including, you know, criminal justice and housing services and child welfare, are sitting in a common framework using a set of principles to move themselves forward. And so they've been able to demonstrate success in reducing things like institutionalization and facilitating community retention within a, you know, in a system that is much poorer and more challenging in many ways than Wisconsin, even though it has lots fewer people. They're spread out and fairly impoverished. So those are two examples. I mean, there are other systems. Let me just throw one in. The state of Maine began this process in about 2005, and they had a research component attached to what they were doing. And they started not with a statewide thing, but they started with piloting this state across the state with a little over 30 provider agencies, which was not necessarily what we would have recommended, but it created a natural experiment for them. And they discovered something very interesting. As they were developing the capacity to deliver integrated behavioral health care compared to the providers that were not making progress in this quality improvement process, they discovered that the comparison in the behavioral health costs per se were about the same, but the health costs dropped dramatically. And this was without effort. So in a target study of 350 people over 3 years, for those who were receiving integrated behavioral health versus those that were not, they saved $3 million in health Medicaid for 350 people over 3 years, which is pretty good. Wow. Without trying.
In the packet that I distributed is a rather lengthy document, but it identifies that there is roughly half the states in America that are using this process, and it identifies some of those states, Alaska, Hawaii, Vermont, Oklahoma. And it's been recognized by the Federal Substance Abuse and Mental Health System Services Administration as a best practice in the report to Congress for system integration.
So since we began this, we began a process of doing this in the northern part of Wisconsin. So the last couple of days, we were in Minocqua working with 7 tribes in 4 counties. And last week, we did we went to Rock County. We did a system assessment there that was focused on the intersection between mental health and substance and their criminal justice system. And I suspect that they're going to move in the direction of utilizing this. The thing about it, which we recommend, you know, you say you're in a system right now where you're experiencing significant financial cutbacks. And so there's a tendency for people to think, well, we'll get to this integration and inspiration stuff when we get some extra money. But in fact, the idea is to leverage every single dollar you have. Okay? The amount of money that goes up and down is like up here. And your base resources are considerable whether you go up or down. So the challenge is always to create the most inspired possible vision. So you have everybody moving forward and leveraging all of your base resources to be about the vision that you're heading toward. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the more foundational that is, the more likely the whole system will make smarter decisions strategically about how to manage resource shifts, whether they go up or down. It's the way that, you know, customer businesses actually operate, but public bureaucracies tend not to operate that way. And it's kind of a challenge to try to help everybody kind of reframe the way they think to use the most modern strategies of quality improvement to deliver services within limited resources.
The last line on the slide refers to the Serenity Prayer. So in your experience, what have you learned that you can't change?
Well, there are many things you can't change. But, you know, one of the things is, let's just take the situation you guys are in right now. There's stuff going on at the state that everybody is trying very hard to influence. And, you know, hopefully you will influence as much as you can, but you don't have the power to influence everything. And what happens in systems is the people get a little bit stuck saying, well, you know, unless something happens over there, we can't make change. And people come to the table very frequently saying, thank you for inviting me to this process. I'm here to change somebody else. Okay? So the idea of the Serenity Prayer of Change is to say, you know, we want everybody to come to the table in a partnership around a common vision, but we want you, wherever you are, to come to the table in the spirit of the Serenity Prayer. The serenity to accept the things you cannot change, which is everybody else. The courage to change the things you can, your own work if you're a clinician, your own team if you're a supervisor, your own program if you manage one, your agency if you run one, your own span of control if you're inside the county system in a particular silo, and so on. And the wisdom to know the difference. And if everybody focuses on the internal things that they can change within whatever resources they have within their own policies, procedures, and practices to move in the direction of a common vision, And we actually structure that so it's happening together in an organized, not a random way, with a clear articulation of vision and direction. Even though everyone may only change a little bit in the moment, the whole system starts to change a lot. Now, what's very different about that is that what we tend to do in systems is we focus a lot on a particular issue. So we'll have a very expensive demonstration pilot project that'll go on for 3 years. And that's great, yay. We have a demonstration pilot. But then nothing else, no one else is owning any responsibility to move in a different direction. Or else we say, well, I guess we'll improve over in the substance side when we have a different way of funding us. Or if you give us extra money. Okay, we'll develop integrated services when they change a state regulation. And so people get stuck inside the things they can't change in the moment and don't do the things they can. And by leveraging everybody to be moving and recognizing the things they actually can do, so can you actually be more welcoming and inspiring? Can you collect better data and information on how many complex people you have? And people say, well, I could do that. Well, let's get busy. Okay, because inside this partnership, everybody is owning steps that they can do. Mm-hmm. Our job is to help everybody stay focused and aligned and then begin to help everyone rewrite the rules of operation so that they start to support the new direction, because the old rules of operation are very much out of sync.
One of the interesting and unexpected occurrences once we started this process is many other systems, as soon as they learned of this, wanted to join with us. Be it state private hospital systems, DOC, BMCW now starting to inquire about this. So as more people learn about this, they're welcome to the table and come join us in this process.
My other comment as a strict layman is to perhaps suggest, if you do seek a broader public consensus or agreement on this, is to look for a different title than Achieving Systemic Co-Occurring Integration.
And that document that I wrote in 2008, which is a little bit dated now, was just that, just to lay the groundwork, at least internally, of can we move forward.
It's been a great presentation. I appreciate hearing it, and thank you. I will take the time to read this and may have some additional questions for you.
Thank you,
Madam Chairman.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other comments or questions? Mm-hmm. Wonderful report.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your moving us through the agenda. Thank you.
Good luck with your next meeting. Always a pleasure to see you. All right, back on schedule, item number 12.